Welcome to Conscious Leadership, the podcast where we delve into the heart of impactful leadership, one conscious step at a time. I'm your host, Dakota Lima, and together we'll explore the realms of self-awareness, empowerment, and purpose-driven leadership. Get ready to ignite your leadership potential and make a positive difference in your life and the life of those you lead. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another enlightening episode. I'm thrilled to have you with us today. Today, we're going to dive into the fascinating aspect of leadership that often goes unnoticed, but holds incredible power. The energy of leadership. Leadership isn't just about titles or strategies. It's about the energy we bring to our roles. We often think about leadership in terms of skills, decisions, and actions. But the real magic happens when we start to explore the energy we carry as leaders. Energy is a force surrounding us, something we all feel, but may not always be aware of or recognize. We've all been in situations where someone's energy either lit up a room, inspired us, and made us feel like we could achieve anything. And on the flip side, we've encountered situations where energy drained the life out of the space, leaving us feeling disheartened. Our energy as leaders impacts our teams, our organizations, and the world. It's a force that can elevate or diminish. It's a key element of conscious leadership. That's what we're diving into today. We'll uncover what leadership energy is, what it means to tap into that energy, and how it can influence our teams and our impact as leaders. But I'm not alone in this exploration. I'm delighted to introduce our guest, Bonnie Rosensteel. She's a certified coach in emotional intelligence, a woman veteran, a singer, and a leader who has profound insights on the world of leadership and energy. So if you're ready to explore the invisible but powerful force of leadership energy, stay with us. This episode will shed light on the importance of self-awareness, balancing energies, and embracing the authentic essence of leadership. Before we dive deeper into this captivating subject, let's take a moment to understand what leadership energy truly is. Who might be wondering, what does this mean to tap into that energy? Leadership energy isn't something tangible, yet it's a potent force. Think of it as the aura or the presence you carry as a leader. It's the vibe you exude and the impact it has on everyone you interact with. When you tap into your leadership energy, you harness the ability to inspire, to motivate, and to lead your team effectively. It's that unspoken yet deeply felt connection that boosts morale, drives innovation, and fosters trust within your team. It's the difference between merely managing a group of people and actually inspiring them to follow your lead. As we journey through this episode, we'll explore the nuances of leadership energy, self-awareness, and its profound effects on how you tap into that energy to become an extraordinary leader. Well, I'd like to welcome our esteemed guest, Bonnie Rosensteel. She is a certified coach in emotional intelligence for EQI and EQ360. She is also a woman veteran, a very close friend of mine, and an amazing woman in her own right. Bonnie, could you please share with us some personal stories about yourself and just how has your transformation in leadership has come about?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Dakota. I'm really excited to be here. And I know your listeners can't see you today, but they should know you look beautiful. And call me esteemed. I feel so special. Esteemed Bonnie. love to love them. Dakota, you and I met recently through the Mission Continues, the WVLP, the Women Veteran Leadership Program. So I'm an Army National Guard veteran, and for a long time I didn't really identify as a veteran, and it's wild the number of women that I have met that say the same thing. Like, you know, that, oh, I'm a female, I didn't identify as a veteran for the longest time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the leadership style in the military and, you know, learning that we have gifts that weren't necessarily cultivated in that environment. And there's tenacity and brilliance that we develop as a result that's coming up now. So getting to meet you and the other women through that program has just been a joy. But I came into the world, my mom says I came into the world screaming. I literally was born, came out screaming. And very early on, I got into singing and dancing. I was a little musician. I started playing piano when I was really little. My dad bought a piano from an auction for $100.
Nice.
And, he just knew there was, if you teach a kid an instrument as a child, it changes their brain, right? Changes how they learn. So he knew that was important. And so music was very much a part of my life from a very early age and all through high school. And I ended up going to school. I decided to major in it. I got my bachelor's and then my master's degree in voice and vocal performance. I enlisted in the Army my freshman year of undergrad. It helped pay for school, gave me great experience, you know, meeting other people, learning about leadership and teamwork. And then I moved to Texas in 2005 to get my master's at U of H. And I was 2,000 miles away from my family. I didn't know anybody and thought, this will be a great way to start my life over. and it's funny how, you know, when you're young, you think you know all the answers. But interestingly, looking back now, I mean, I'm in my 40s. I realize now that I was running. I was running from things that I hadn't dealt with. And so the journey since then, I ended up leaving music behind really like in my mid-20s. I was still performing in the Army. I was a musician in the Army. And I got a job randomly in corporate America. I had a tragedy happen in my life in my late 20s, and I had to make some hard choices, and I took a job in tech. I'm not technical. I work in operations, but I worked in the tech space now for about 15 years. And a couple of years ago, you know, around the pandemic, I know it's a hot topic for a lot of us, I found myself feeling really unfulfilled. You know, I, air quotes, had done everything right in my life. You know, I worked hard in high school, kept my head down, stayed out of trouble. My father was a teacher in the district, so I couldn't really get into trouble. Everybody knew who I was. Got my degrees, enlisted in the military, stayed out of trouble in the military, you know, was in for 17 years. Had a good job in the corporate space. And yet I found myself feeling really unhappy. And I started asking, well, why is that? And then that's where the real transformation started happening. You know, during the pandemic, a lot of us took the opportunity to go, well, I'm stuck at home. What am I going to do? I'll learn how to, you know, do French cooking, or I'll read a book and, you know, become an expert in crocheting, or I'll learn about neuroscience. Like we all got interested in something.
Yeah.
And for me, that became a time to really, I started meditating. I started really listening to my intuition, and I started getting back in touch with my artistic self and just really reflecting on my life and seeing things that maybe people had encouraged me to leave behind that I wanted to pick back up. So that's kind of where, that's a very random, quick scattershot of my timeline. But I started getting into emotional intelligence in particular, and that's where I really started to get curious and excited about myself and the future and reconnecting with other people.
That's awesome. And, you know, I found that throughout the years, just speaking to many women, I mean, not just women, men as well, but just interacting with many women, a lot of people feel that way. You know, you go through life and you do what, air quotes, is expected, right? Mm-hmm. Or what they condition us to believe we're supposed to be doing and being and trying to achieve. And then you just kind of feel empty, like there's something missing and there's something that you're like, life is meant for more, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because I know that was kind of like me too. You know, I was like, this is not how I thought my life would be. Like, I just felt like there was like some type of emptiness that no matter what I was trying to do was not being fulfilled. And I like how you said, like, you tapped into the meditation, because I did that too. And it allowed you to reach inside and find some type of peace, I guess you could say, almost, because it's like you're really learning who you are versus who you were like trying to be because you thought that's what you were supposed to be, right? Absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. I know that's huge for a lot of people, you know, to listen to yourself. And, you know, emotional intelligence is huge on that because it's all about, you know, self-awareness.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, that's one of the main roles of it is self-awareness. But since we're talking about self-awareness, how would you say self-awareness plays in being able to understand and balance energy for leadership?
Oh, wow. I mean, self-awareness is everything when it comes to, I'll say, effective leadership. I've been in numerous leadership roles in my life. And when I look back and reflect on that, almost unilaterally, my first year in each of those roles, I was pretty bad. Like I wasn't a very effective leader. And part of it is, you know, a lot of people, they're really high performing individual contributors, right? You're great as a solo. You're great as an individual soldier, or, you know, an individual in the corporation, and someone goes, hey, you sold the most this quarter, or you did a great job on that project, or you're a high performing private, you know, like, yeah, we want to promote you. And then we just like pluck these people out of IC positions and stick them into leadership and think, oh, well, I'm a badass now. Look at me. I can do my thing. And it is such a different lens. It's an entirely different toolkit. And most of our lives, there is no path. There's no training program that teaches us how to shift ourselves from that individual perspective to, I'm now not responsible for only myself. I'm responsible for 50 people.
Yeah.
And the vision and the mission and making sure everybody has all their tactical pieces in place. I mean, it is an entirely different perspective. So I think the entry point for that is be prepared to suck. Be prepared. Like, have the humility, right? Like, go. That's my big lesson, is when you go into it, be kind to yourself. Know that you're probably not going to know all the answers, especially that first year. You're probably going to fall on your face, and be prepared to own that. Some of the best leaders I've ever had would come in and be like, hey guys, I want you to tell me how you're doing things. You tell me. I'm new here. You show me what's going on, and come in with some curiosity and absorb what's going on in the environment before they started saying, well, here's how we're doing this.
Yeah.
I remember in my early years in the military, there was an E6 Army girl here. I know Marines, you're superior to all of us. I know this, but
I'm not. Look, I'm Air Force, so you yeah, know we get
Air Force.
Yeah, exactly.
Chairs all day. Yeah. It's a whole thing. Any non-military people are like, what are you talking about? But if you're, know. You know, you get it, like, it's all good fun and a loving spirit. But I remember there was an E6 early on in my career where he would say to us, you know, you don't have to respect me, but you will respect my rank.
Oh.
And that was a trope that was thrown around a lot, right? But the more I inspected that, I mean, years later, when I would retroactively inspect that, I would think, you know, that really doesn't work. Because if you're forcing a person to respect you, then they don't really respect you. That's not internally combusted motivation. Fear-based, that's not incentivizing, that's not inspirational. So you have to be self-aware. You have to be aware of, what am I bringing to the table? What am I not bringing to the table? Where are my blind spots? What do I have to learn? Have that humility coming in. Know what you're good at, right? Like, have confidence, know what you're good at. I'm not saying to come in and abdicate everything. Come in with a vision, come in with confidence, but also come in with, you're doing this for the first time. It's your first day. It's your first day as a capital L leader. You've never done it before. And just because you were a high performing individual contributor doesn't mean you're going to be a great leader on day one. And that's okay. And I'll wrap this part up with this. I mean, I also think women in general, you know, we're having a moment right now. The divine feminine is coming out, and I'm loving to see it. Right. like Beyonce says, strong enough to bear the children and then get back to business. Like,
exactly.
I don't have kids myself, but I've seen so many moms out there. There's an inherent leadership that comes with being a mother, right? All of a sudden your perspective goes, oh, I'm now responsible for all, not just myself, but also this other human that I grew inside of myself for a year and all these other factors. So it's that perspective of these inherent skills that I think come with certain life roles that we have. Just having that humility and just knowing you're going to mess up and that's okay.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, in the military as well, you know, they put us through leadership training, but the leadership training they put us through is more about learning how to manage people. It's not really learning how to, I would say, actually be a leader, because, you know, I feel manager and leader are two different things. And a lot of people misinterpret that. They automatically assume, well, I'm the manager, I'm in charge, I'm the boss, blah, blah, blah. You know, that doesn't make you a leader. So it's kind of like that whole thing, like you said, oh, you're just respecting the rank. Okay, you're just a manager, you know, like you're just managing the daily task, but nobody really wants to follow you, you know. And with that being said, I've had the same thing. I've had some amazing leaders in my military career, but I've also had some atrocious ones. You know, like some, I'm like, how in the world are you continuing to get promoted? You know, like, and it's one of those things where in the military too, you know, the system is not quite set up for the best leaders to always just advance. You know, it's not. And I was thinking to myself when I came into the civilian world, the same thing, maybe it'll be a little bit different, you know? No, it's not. It's not. You know, I found the same thing in the civilian world. It's not that it's worse, but it's more about who you know, are you in that club? Do you have a sponsor? Do you have someone who's speaking on your behalf, you know, that's in that decision-making circle that has a seat at the table that can promote you? And it's like, if you're not in with the right people, and they don't know anything about you, you're never really going to be seen. And, you know, you could be that individual that does their job, that comes to work every day, that does great. And then people just naturally want to follow you, but doesn't mean you're going to be recognized and put into the position of being a leader as well. You know, and I find that it sucks, you know, because when you know you are self-aware that, you know, you have those skill sets, because to be a leader is a skill. It's not something that people just, I mean, there are some people that are natural born leaders, but, you know, to hone it to where you're actually being effective in your job and, you know, completing the mission and completing the task, but at the same time, also motivating people to jump on board with what it is that you're trying to get them to do. It is a skill set, you know, and self-awareness 100% is the leading charge of that, you know, being aware, not just of what skills you bring or what skills you may be lacking, but even going back to kind of the emotional intelligence, how are you regulating yourself in these different environments when things are high stress? Like, how do you act versus when things are going great and everybody's peachy, you know, like, can you still be level-headed in a high stress situation versus when everything is perfect, you know, because that also shows leadership skills. Because some people, I remember being deployed, you know, and there were some NCOs that I was there with. I got deployed to Iraq when I was an airman. You know, I was only a little old E4 when I got deployed. And so, you know, I wasn't in charge and I was just the worker bee. And, you know, we had to follow people. And some people excelled with the chaos and some people crumbled. And and it was shocking sometimes, because like the people that I saw crumble were people that when we were back in the States, I thought were great. Like, they worked really well, not necessarily like, oh, you're an amazing leader, but they were great at their job. They did good. They're a great individual. You know, like, you never had an issue with them. But over there, you know, again, chaos, you know, not everybody knows how to manage high stress situations. And that comes with skill, learning the skills of leadership. So kind of shifting, because you brought up the divine feminine, and I love that, because I 100%, you know, with me being a master energy healer, I'm all about energy. And so one of the things that I noticed is that for us women, not just women in the military, but you see it a lot with single moms and just women in general, is we've been forced for a long time to be living in our masculine energy and to kind of be in that survival mode where you have to take on everything and do everything, or you feel like I have to be this hard, rough, tough to be recognized as a leader, right? But really what makes us stand out is when we tap into our feminine side. You know, a lot of women don't realize, like, you trying to just constantly be in your masculine is not really going to show your true essence, because what makes us women great is our divine feminine energy, you know, tapping into, like you were saying earlier, your intuition, like you learned more about your inner self. So can you talk to me a little bit about what you believe, like how leaders can harness their unique energy for themselves, whether, you know, you're a woman or a male that's listening to this, but what can help you tap into and inspire other people and motivate your teams with your unique energy?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful question. I think it comes back to knowing yourself. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? You know, we are all programmed as kids, right? We are born in a society that says girls wear dresses, boys wear pants. I mean, that's changed a lot, right? But like when my mom was growing up, like that was, it was like, ooh, a woman's wearing pants. Like I had an aunt like she would literally chastise me for wearing pants. Like, okay. And there are some of those ideas are still here. It's about balance, right? Cause I love what you said. It's about energetics. Yes, I identify as a woman. I identify as non-binary, but leaning femme. Masculine energy is about direction. It's about pointedness. Whereas feminine energy is about, you know, there's some chaos in there, but it's about expansion and possibility. And you need both.
Yeah.
You need both. And for a long time, women, you know, if we show any kind of directional pointedness, we're told, well, you're too mannish. Well, no, I'm using that part of my energy, right? In addition to my feminine creativity to help identify a solution, and the balance, and those things are in balance with one another. That's when really beautiful things happen. And in our society, we've been polarized, right? Men have to, air quotes, be men. Men are also, and oftentimes taught, don't show any air quotes, femininity. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, in how they dress, but even just in personality or in decision-making or in nurturing qualities or in, you know, in the way that they include people in conversation. Men are taught they have to be really directive and firm. Don't show empathy. That's seen as weakness. With women, I took a course several years ago at Cornell called Women in Leadership, and they talk about this thing called the double bind, where as a woman, you can either be liked or you can be effective. It's really difficult to be both.
Yeah.
And when I remember learning that, I thought, this sounds like an energetic challenge, right? This polarity that we've created in our society. And I think it's on folks like us, right, to open up that conversation and say, hey, folks, we don't have to choose one or the other. The sweet spot is in the blend.
Yeah.
Everybody has feminine energy. Everyone has masculine energy
100%.
In their soul. And it's figuring out, okay, know thyself. Who taught you to be the way that you are? Who? Was it society? Was it your parents? And how does that feel to you, really, when you get down to your base? Who were you when you were 2 years old? What did you love to do? What would you love to wear? What would you love to play with? Like, because that's your natural energetic state. I think it really comes down to that. And you mentioned something before about, you know, there are some natural leaders. I think of it more, there are some people that are naturally charismatic, naturally magnetic. Yeah. And then what we choose to do with that, right? Leadership is I don't know if I believe there are born leaders. I think there are born charismatic people, born magnetic people. But leadership shifts, right? Because the way millennials think is very different from the way Gen X thinks, which is very different from the way boomers think, which is very different from the way, you know, Gen Z, like the way they think is all different. And even the word manager, right? Manipulate, it comes from putting hands on, like it's, you're forcing, right? Or manipulating someone to do something. Whereas inspiration comes from the Latin inspirare, to breathe life into.
Yeah.
So I think we can be most effective in our energetics when we are able to inspire, and we can inspire others the best by ourselves being the most balanced. When we're a balanced leader, I know what I'm good at. I'm going to show up with confidence and curiosity and know when is it time to step on the gas pedal and when is the time to maybe tap the brake a little bit. And like you said, you know, step into some that feminine energy when it's necessary. And it doesn't mean weakness. It means I'm aware, I'm reading the room. You know, are people tired? Are they overworked? Yelling at them and trying to make them do something is not going to make the situation better.
Exactly.
You know, like if my stress is high and I'm trying to manipulate or manage other folks through that stress, it's only going to increase stress in the room. And stress is a form of fear, which when it's in the brain cannot coexist with creativity. So
not at all. And it just causes more issues physically, you know, like deep down. Yes. And then it eventually, like over time, it's going to lead to burnout and people resenting and hating their job. And oh my God, you know, like it's that like little snowball effect. And yep. It's like, if you're going to have a snowball effect, let's have a snowball effect in the positive sense, you know, like where you're not causing everyone to go downhill, but you know, we're all pushing the ball uphill together. And I could agree with your statement about the charisma, because I do 100% believe that leadership is a skill set. It's something that you have to learn, because there's so many different aspects to it. You know, and 100% your energy does have to be in balance. You know, you have to be able to have a hold on your emotional state. And when we start speaking emotions, you know, it kind of goes back to the whole masculine feminine. You know, they look at women as being emotional, whereas men don't know how to deal with their emotions at all. You know, so you have that discord here, you know, like that imbalance. But it's not about being emotional. It's about being able to regulate it and being able to understand why you're feeling what you're feeling in that current moment and situation. And it kind of really goes right back to, like, we started off the conversation about being self-aware. You know, when you feel yourself getting angry or getting mad or getting frustrated, why are you getting frustrated about this situation? Is it something within me, or is it really something external? Because a lot of times, you know, we allow those external things to cause us to be out of whack and out of balance and everything. So what advice would you like to offer any emerging leaders that are looking to kind of tap into their authentic energy, their authentic leadership, or just wanting to become a leader? You know, or maybe they might already be in that leadership position, but like you said, new, you kind of hit on it, like, you know, don't expect to be perfect out the gate, but you know, what other, insights and advice can you give to new leaders?
Yeah. Have your square squad. It's a Brené Brown term, like have your trusted circle. In Buddhist temples, they have what's called a Sangha. They have to have five. There's five monks that get together, and it's this trusted circle, and they won't make any decisions unless all five are there. Now, I'm not saying that, like, that doesn't work in every situation, like, you know, in the United States and our culture, in, you know, more capitalistic, like pyramid type structures where you have one person at the top. That doesn't always work. But I think the sentiment is valuable that no one person can do it alone. So if you're in a leadership position, especially if you're new, look to other leaders that you respect. Look to other leaders that you don't respect and watch what are they doing and learn from their mistakes, right? Failure is feedback. It is a great way to go, why didn't that work? How can I learn from that? And why wait until you fail? Watch someone else fail and go, well, why did they fail? Mm-hmm. You know, not as an opportunity to like point and laugh, like, but to go, what did they do that brought them to that place, and see if you can learn from it, analyze their decisions. But, you know, have a trusted space, whether that's coworkers or leaders in other organizations that you can get with, you know, once every 2 weeks and just, you know, go out, have a cup of coffee and say, and just talk. Perspective sharing is another great way to learn. It's a great way to feel seen and just let off some stress so you don't take that back into the workplace. But having your trusted circle, folks that you can talk with is a great way to start. And if you can get a mentor, you know, again, someone that is a little further along in their career or in their life journey, again, just so you can learn. And I love asking about mistakes. Like, yes, it's great to win. It's great. It feels great, right? But sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And winning doesn't cause you to grow. It causes your chest to puff up, right? It helps that when we're talking about real growth, learning is where real growth comes from. And failure is a great way to learn, because failure is painful, right? And as sentient animals, we want to avoid pain. So when we feel pain, when we feel that failure, we go, okay, I don't want to be here again. How do I make sure I don't end up being here again? So love failure, embrace failure. There's a leadership developer and a personal development coach that I appreciate. Her name's Mary Morrissey. And she says, if you want to grow faster, fail twice as fast. Fail a lot. Go out. Try a lot of things. Fail as quickly as you can, because the more you fail, the quicker you're going to grow.
Yeah.
And I remember early on when I first found myself in leadership positions, I was like, well, I've got to be awesome at this. I've got to, you know, prove that I'm amazing right out the gate. And like my ego was leading and was really fearful of failure. Now I'm like, bring it, you know, I've got some years behind me. And it's not to say that it's not scary. It is scary. Failure is scary, but you know, it's that age old quote, you know, it's nothing to fear, but fear itself. You grow faster.
100%. No, I love that. Be willing to and embrace challenges is going to 100% help you grow as a leader. I mean, it's going to help you grow as a person, as an overall person, not even just a leader. It's going to help you grow as a person.
And if I may,
yes, go ahead.
So again, when I first started this, I was like, this is what 15-year-old girls do, but journal. Journal, journal, journal. Seriously, the hardest thing to see is me. We look out through our eyeballs at the world. Self-reflection is such a powerful tool. I've been journaling for years, and I will go back and read things from 4 or 5 years ago. And there's a scientific principle that which gets observed changes under observation. If you're not observing yourself, if you can't see it, you can't change it.
100%.
And I'll go back and read journals from 4 years ago and I'll go, oh, wow, look at that pattern that I broke. I broke that thing I used to do 4 years ago. You know, I kept, you know, making the same choices in friendships or not setting boundaries or showing up in a certain way. I broke that, and I can take pride in that and go, yes, I learned that. Isn't that great? Or I'll go back 4 years ago and I'll notice, oh man, I'm still doing that. That thing that I wrote about 4 years ago, I'm still doing that thing today. Okay, I got to check myself, right? So journaling, I used to think it was really like, this is what teenage girls do in their bedroom, like, dear diary, but that's not what I mean. It's not to be self-indulgent. It's really meant to keep a chronicle of yourself. You know, yes, have a mentor. Yes, have other people outside of yourself, but also get really curious about you. Put your ego aside, write about just what happens every day. What are you grateful for? Where were your failures? Where were your wins? What are the things that you're doing? Yeah. So you can start to notice your patterns. And then you have the visibility to be able to choose. Because choice is the coolest thing ever. But without choice, you're along for the ride, you know, and you're part of somebody else's plan. So when you can actually see what you're doing and choose what direction you want to go in at this next, you know, fork in the road coming up, that's where you really start to take control over your own destiny. And that's where really cool things can start happening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the shift for me when I stopped, when I started to try to heal myself and get out of survival mode and try to like get rid of the anxiety and depression, was being able to realize that I have that control. You know what I mean? Instead of being in that mindset of life is happening to me.
To me, yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it's like, no, like it's happening for me, you know, and you have that control. You have that choice. Every day we make a choice whether to do or not to do. You know, those are both choices, you know, and I 100% agree with journaling. It's great. It's one of the first things that I learned trying to go down the road of healing. You know, I had diaries when I was younger. And then same thing, like I stopped for years. Like, I don't even think probably my last 3 years in the military is when I started a journal again. And at that time it was just a dream journal because I was having these crazy dreams, like so vivid. So I would have a book right on my nightstand. And when I'd wake up, I'd just kind of write down whatever I could remember. And
do the same.
And that's kind of where my journaling started again. And then when I got out of the military and I started to realize, okay, life, something needs to change. And, you know, then I started to journal again, just understanding like what your feelings are, because it's also another way to release the energy. And a lot of people don't realize when you're just holding all of that in, you know, that's unhealthy. And that's what's going to cause a lot of that anxiety, depression, and that feeling of unworthiness and like just all of these things, because you're holding up those pent up emotions and those feelings and you're not allowing yourself to release and understand it. And journaling is one of the best ways to do that because you're getting it out. You're putting it to pen to paper, to thought. You're actually having to allow your brain to process it, to say it to yourself, because in order to write something down, you got to say it to yourself in your head first, you know? And it's such a powerful tool that people just like miss, what's the word? You know, you just kind of disregard it, you know, but it's such a powerful tool, just for personal growth in general, amazing for leaders, but just as a person, just for personal growth, it's a powerful tool. So I'm happy you brought up the journaling, because I wasn't even thinking about that to say that's such a great thing.
And it's easy, right? In the United States, or, you know, hard work is what gets you ahead. We're taught that this trope, right, since we were children, that it's got to be hard. And the older I get, I'm like, what if it doesn't have to be hard? What if it doesn't? Like, just even asking the question. And journaling, I remember when it came across my path as someone suggesting to me that I do it, I was like, but that just seems so easy. That seems lazy, right? Like I'm just writing about myself every day. Like, really? Because it really flew in the face of everything I had been taught. Like, no, you need to like roll up your sleeves, put your hands in the dirt, break your back, break a sweat. Blood, sweat, and tears is what gets you ahead. Yeah. And it's not to say those things don't, right? Hard work, yes, that is a value. There's a lot of really good credibility to be given to that. But it's not it doesn't mean that every path requires you, you know, harming yourself to get there. Like, journaling's, it's fairly easy, right? I mean, it does require some bravery. You have to be willing to really look at yourself, but it's pretty simple. Sit down, give yourself 5-10 minutes every day and sit down and just do it. And the benefits are, you do it, right? It's like one of those things, like until you do it for a couple of years and you start to see like how things just start happening in your life. It's like, oh, this is incredible. yeah, but self-reflection and the journaling tool it's easy. And it's amazing how something so simple can be so impactful.
Yes, I love that. I love that. So for all of our listeners, if anybody would love to be able to reach out to you, because like I said in the beginning, she is certified in emotional intelligence. So if you need, for your business, for your corporation, if you're looking for someone that can help your team or your leadership team with emotional intelligence, because it is highly important that leaders are emotionally intelligent. Okay. Then you guys can reach out to Bonnie. What's the best way for people to be able to reach out to you?
Right now I'm on LinkedIn. I work at a corporation right now and solely do facilitation and emotional intelligence coaching there. I'm working in 2024 on expanding and starting my own private practice. So coaching folks on the, I do coach a couple of folks on the outside, but I haven't formally started my whole, you know, my whole business that way. So I'm working on that. For right now, folks can find me on LinkedIn. So I'm on LinkedIn, Bonnie Rosensteel on LinkedIn. And next year will be more to come. I'll have a website and all that. So working on all that.
That's great. That's great. That's awesome. As we draw this episode to a close, please allow it to be your guiding light, illuminating the importance of self-awareness, the delicate art of balancing energies, and the empowering embrace of your authentic leadership essence. Remember, leadership energy isn't just about the words you speak or the actions you take. It's about the aura you create, the trust you build, and the inspiration you ignite. In the world of leadership, self-awareness is your compass, guiding you to a deeper connection with your team and a stronger impact on your organization. We discuss why it's crucial to strike a harmonious balance between the dynamic forces of masculine and feminine energies. Like a well-choreographed dance, this equilibrium allows you to lead decisively while nurturing the potential in your team and the authentic essence of leadership. It's where you unlock your superpower, the ability to inspire and lead from the heart, staying true to yourself while guiding others towards greatness. I would like to thank Bonnie Rosensteel, our esteemed guest, for her insights and advice on how to uncover the magic of leadership energy, tapping into the understanding of self-awareness and emotional intelligence. Remember to lead with purpose, stay authentic, and embrace conscious leadership. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Leadership. I hope today's insights have ignited your passion for empowered and purposeful leadership. Remember, conscious leadership is not just a destination, but a continuous journey of growth and transformation. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow leaders. Until next time, keep thriving, keep leading, keep growing. This is Dakota signing out. Thank you.